listeners, welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid. I'm a surgical pathology fellow at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And today we will be talking to Dr. Marilyn Pui. She is a professor of pathology and the director of cytopathology fellowship at the University of Southern Florida. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pui.
Thank you, Dr. Abdul Abid. can I call you Abdul?
Yes, Abdul is fine. Yes, ma'am. So starting off, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to medical school and did your residency?
I grew up in Beijing, China, and in a family of diplomats. So I was the first one in my family became a medical doctor. And when I was in medical school, it was this experimental class we were taught in English. So that paved the way for me to get to know the Western world much better through both my parents and my education. So I knew that after I graduated from medical school, I want to come here for graduate school. So I went to University of Florida to study and get a PhD degree in molecular pathology and immunology. That's how I started my pathology journey.
Right, and where did you end up doing your residency and then your fellowships?
So after I graduated from UF, I worked as a clinical instructor at the University of Florida Jacksonville campus. And that's where I, after I passed the USMLE, and I started to my residency in APCP and cytopathology. So I basically have been in Florida for more than 30 years longer than when I lived in China. So I can really say that I'm truly a Floridian. As you can see, this is my office and we have a window. Now the old pathology department are in the basements. I can prove it. And this window, it's just beautiful. You can see now it's December. We're like 70 some degrees outside, has this blue sky, beautiful cloud, constantly changing the shapes. So I love Florida. So I've been here more than 30 years. And also University of Florida, after I graduated from there, and I started working at Moffitt Cancer Center 17 years ago. I loved here, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I should mention that when I first saw the window, I thought that it was a painting, but it's not a painting. It's actual. It's an actual Florida sky.
It's for real. Yes.
So moving on to digital pathology, when did you first encounter digital pathology and how did you get a footstep and how did you get involved in the field?
So it was 20 some years ago when I was doing the clinical instructor study for my USMME. I got involved in digital pathology. That was biomarker testing of a prognostic and predictive factor of breast cancer. We all know it's ER, PR, and HER2. I work with Dr. Shala Massoud, who used digital image analysis for these biomarkers. So that's my first experience with that. And later on, when I started working at Moffitt Cancer Center 17 years ago, we have the core laboratory called Analytic Microscopy Core. So they need a scientific director that is a practicing pathologist, also PhD, has expertise in quantitative image analysis, and are willing to oversees the scientific function of this laboratory. Guess what? I fit the bill perfectly. So I was really appreciate that the leadership opportunity. And when I got in, I realized, wow, pathology is going through different journeys. With our profession was born with a microscope and HE. We're able to study the disease at cellular level. So our APCP training really helped us there. So our second revolution was immunohistochemistry. So with those brown stains in the cells, we're able to do predictive medicine. So the ER, PR, HER2, they're all prognostic and predictive markers. So I was really happy my PhD was in immunohistochemistry, so that helped. And also when I was a resident member, I applied for a CAP committee. I got on the IHC committee. So I learned a lot on IHC, so I was very happy with that. And then when I, before I graduated, molecular pathology took off, And because of the PhD is also in molecular pathology, so I felt like I was pretty much prepared with all those revolutions, APCC training, and immunohistochemistry and the molecular pathology. I thought I was all set to practice pathology. Guess what? Digital pathology was a revolution that was just taking place. I didn't realize. But when I became the director of analytic microscopy core, I realized it's something new and I want to learn about it. So I try to look which association has a focus in this, who are the people who are the early adopters I can learn from. So I joined the Digital Pathology Association and also API, Association Pathology Informatics. But in Digital Pathology Association, they really embraced me. I started to check out the website to look at what professional development opportunity I can get. I realized that if you submit your abstracts to ask to be a presenter, oral presenter, or a poster presenter, then you can have certain, for example, if you're an oral presenter, the registration will be waived and then your travel and the two nights hotel will be covered. For academic pathologists, this is great. Because we have limited book funds to travel. And since we all have like APCP, cytopathology and all that, we'll want to go to those meetings. So we need additional funding to go to meetings like DPA. So I was like, okay, let me submit my presentation. Maybe I was lucky. Sure enough, I got my very first oral presentation. I went to the DPA meeting. I was like, whoa, this is great. Then the DPA leadership said, Marilyn, you're an academic pathologist. We need you to help us to organize national meetings. So I get on the committee and we revamped the meeting. It was really great program. And then people said, oh, can you do more? And then they keep promoting me.
Until you became president.
Yeah, get on the board and then eventually become the president. So I basically work my way up, coming in as a learner and a collaborator, and eventually get my way all the way up to DPA. And when I become the DPA president, and I thought we did a lot of things, for example, reorganize the structure to make it impactful, influential, but then I will rotate off, and then they said, you need to come back because we want somebody like you who not just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk and doing great things for the society. So I was like, okay, what kind of legacy we want to leave to the next generation pathologist? So in addition to running the education program, I also have other involvement, for example, being the membership committee member and on other programs like educational committees, write white papers. But most important thing I thought about, what can we give to the residents fellows when they learn pathology, histology in medical school? It was all whole slide image, right? When they go to the ABP board exam, they're tested with a whole slide image, but where do they learn the skill how to read this? So if you're in places like yours, mine, we have that training. How about the others? So I thought about how about we give this gift of education, and DPA will give this platform that is DAPA, Digital Anatomic Pathology Academy, to all the residence fellows. So if they are residence fellows in medical school, they can join DPA for free, and then they can access this platform. It has a lot of over thousands of annotated high quality surgical pathology, cytopathology, hematopathology slides, and also has faculty teaching various lectures. We also connect DPA with the Chinese American pathologist, has exceptional, like successful didactic lectures every single Sunday. So if you are a resident, you join DPA free, become a DAPA trainee. And then when you become that, you can have access to endless lectures from the CAPA. So this is just such a gift of inspiration. So I'm so glad you ask about this, because you're going to help us to spread the word, to ask every single residence fellow, become a DPA member, become a DAPA member. And also new, starting last year, we are asking residence fellows to apply DAPA fellowship. It's like a honorary fellow, honorary resident. And you, among many of the applicants, because your contribution and interest in digital pathology, you're selected. Yes, how do you like that? So what's your understanding of the role?
I think it's an amazing opportunity, and it sort of overlaps with some of the stuff that I was either planning to do or I had done in the past. But I like the fact that, so the process, I'm not going to go into too much details, but the process is that I would be providing some cases, which would be, and then I would be providing board style questions alongside it that will be vetted by an expert in the field of whatever case that is. And then they will be published on the website. And I would also have the opportunity to work with people, for example, if I'm interested in GI pathology. So if there's a GI collection that some faculty is doing, then I can also help them with that as well. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And let me just also briefly talk a little bit, because it's a podcast for you, not for me, about my interest in digital pathology, which started while I was interviewing for residency. So I wasn't even a resident when I was interested in that. And then when I was a member of the CAP, I remember you came to a residence forum meeting when you were the president. And I remember there was a talk, and I still have screenshots from it. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing resource. And I joined DPA like instantly. So I have been a member for about 5 years now.
Wonderful.
And during my residency, it was a little unique, because not every place is doing digital pathology implementation, but we were at the time, my program at the time. So I was involved in that, in the validation processes. And then some people started signing out, and I was really interested in like how a future workflow of pathology would be, which would involve digital sign out. So I tried to take as much advantage of that as possible. And also during the board studying, I think that helped a lot. And now, since now we have whole site images in the board, so I think that was very helpful, learning from the DPA during that time.
Yeah, it's great to see your digital pathology journey. And we also need to give a shout out to Dr. Raj Singh, because he developed the Path Presenter platform that makes the DAPA possible. And he is going to be the one that work with you with a lot of hands-on technical training, and also connect you with different people. And also, you do receive a stipend, so you're going to attend the Pathology Visions in 2023. It's going to be in Orlando.
Yes.
That's in my backyard. So in the time you come, when the rest of the country is cold and gloomy, it's October, I believe.
Late October, October next
and
year.
So. Orlando will be just beautiful and sunny.
That will be wonderful. Right. So, you're also an author of multiple books, but I want to talk about one of your books, which is the Healing Art of Pathology. So how did you get the idea, and how did you end up writing that book?
Yeah, this is an inspiration by a patient, and the purpose of this book, so thank you for giving this a shout out. The purpose of this book is to highlight what pathologists do, so make us visible in the eyes of the patients, the public, and our clinical team. Because we realize that the pathology, it plays a very important role in patient care and precision medicine. The role is so important. I think it's very analog to the central nervous system, to a human body. We know the central nervous system controls many of the functions. So in order for us to do our job, the patients and also the clinicians and also the politicians need to recognize our value, because if they cut our service, they're eroding into the foundation of the patient care. So this patient really inspired me. His name is Ray Paul. He's a sarcoma patient. And we have been collaborating on this. So he gave us open-ended permission to talk about him, his journey, and the book. So he had a mix of fibrosarcoma. And I have seen his specimen 3 times. But you know, for pathologists, we're generally not patient facing. So we remember the case diagnosis, but we mm-hmm. don't always remember patient's name. Until he contacted me, he said, Dr. Bowie, can I see my pathology? Because I want to stare the devils in the eye. I want to understand who and what I'm fighting with. Second, he said, I participated in immunotherapy called dendritic cells. They put dendritic cells that is trained with my tumor cells in my body. So the dendritic cell can wake up the lymphocytes in my system, kill the tumor cells. Where is the dendritic cell? What do they look like? Have my lymphocytes fighting back? So with this scope, this specific scope right here, and he and I, we look at it, we talk about it. I showed him his tumor cells, his dendritic cells, the lymphocytic reaction. Then I sent him the digital images of his tumor. And he blew it up on canvas, and he started painting. He put his heart and soul into it, paint this My Sarcoma series. And this journey really changed his mind, because when he connected with his pathologist, he understood his disease, he became a driver of his medical journey. And he connected with his art, so he is no longer feel victimized by his sarcoma. He become this creative artist, because he find life, especially hard life, is inspiration for his art. He reconnected with his faith. He has a strong family support. Now he has the entire Moffitt team, all the clinicians and the supporting staff, including his pathologist, is supporting him. So it changed his life. Now he's doing really, really well. And his work was really inspirational. So at that time, I was a member of the College of American Pathologists Publications Committee. We oversee book proposals. We're also encouraged to have book ideas. So I said, I propose this book idea, which is brand new, called The Healing Art of Pathology. It's going to spotlight a pathologist and explain what's the value of pathology, so we can inspire ourselves and also inspire the others. But most importantly, we need to re-emphasize the pride and the joy of this book. So it was not easy to publish this book, because the CP Press is used to publish textbooks and scientific books. This is one of the different one-of-a-kind book. But since this book is published, I have got this overwhelming feedback for the simple things. When our secretary in our department worked for 20 years, read this book, the very last one is called A Healing Pathology Glossary. I have a definition and explanation of what everybody does, cytopathology, blood bank, cytopathologist. So after she read this book, she goes like, now I understand what everybody's doing. And I'm so proud that I could support this very important healthcare professionals to make a difference in patients' life. And I personally also inspired by my patient and many of the authors in this book. So this make me realize that behind every case, it's a real patient. There is a Ray that is behind this book that warrants our best effort. So because of this, I find the calling of my life. How can I make a practicing pathology not just a job, but a way of living a very joyful, rewarding, and meaningful professional life? So I recentered how I see the world, how I practice. So this is pretty much the summary. I feel like it's inspired by this connection with the patient. I feel it's such a privilege and honor for me to be an academic pathologist in a premier cancer center. I feel passionate about contributing to cancer diagnosis and education, creating new knowledge through research, and advancing our profession to ultimately benefit patient care in a significant way. I strive to be a physician leader who is forward-thinking and driven by a worthy purpose to enrich lives. I will not only lead by example, but also unleash the full potential of others to achieve their goals and deliver positive results. So this was published in 2016, but this personal mission and personal statement still staying true and really helped me to grow and live this professional life. Mm-hmm. This experience is almost like an inoculation vaccination for me to prevent burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I find a better cause than myself. I find a connection with my patients, with my colleagues in all the association I'm associated with, and connection with people like you, because the residents, the fellows, the young pathologists constantly remind us our future is bright, because look at those people. They are talented, they're dedicated, they have great ideas. So this is a very full circle, right? You give something, but you're also receiving something. Yeah. And we're amplifying this positive energy back and forth to benefit patient care.
Yeah. So I have two supplementary questions. One of them is the CAP recently also started a council, I believe, on computational pathology or data science. Can you talk a little bit, like briefly, about that?
Yeah, it is called the Council on Informatics and Pathology Innovation. So this is a restructure that emphasizing the importance of digital pathology and informatics. So under this council, and there are some existing committees are now reorganized with this group of leadership. So the DCPC, the Digital Computation Pathology Committee that I'm currently chairing, is one of them. We have informatics committee, cancer committee, and there is a medical report committee, AI committee.
Yeah.
I probably missed something, but that's it's on the CAP website. And we had our very first meeting, and it's such a big milestone for so many years now. This is the one of the rare new council. So this is realized. So that means the CAP leadership realized how important digital pathology and AI is playing in the role of pathology practice. So I'm really excited to be. And also, by the way, you can apply to be a member of the council. You can also apply to be a member of any of those CAP committees. So just go to the website and put your name in. And my committee, and there are so many excellent candidates. It's really, really tough to make that choice, because when we give that position, the limited position, to certain people, for you, we made you happy, but at the same time, we disappointed a lot more people.
Yeah.
You realize that. And but we will try to find ways to get everybody together so everybody can contribute.
Yeah. Lastly, just from your conversation, your parents were diplomats. So did you spend time in like other countries outside of China and the United States?
So the system in China is that the parents will go out doing their diplomatic work, but their family will stay behind.
Uh-huh.
So my parents will get set off salary for them to live there, and then their regular salary is here to support us. And then the government provide a lot of activities to make the family's life easier. For example, when we were growing up, we were really looking forward to every weekend, because whenever there is a new movie release, they will play it for us, for all the children of diplomats. We'll get together, watch a new movie for all free. There are a lot of other privileges. And probably it's more difficult for the parents that they don't live with their children, but for the children, hey!
Party time!
No. I'm undermining all those hardships, but
yeah, I'm sure.
Each system has a different structure. At that time, it was the separate system, but I understand in recent years, the diplomats do take their family, travel. So it's more humane to keep the family unit together. Yeah. Oh, and also I want to mention that when this book came out, a lot of pathologists really supported this. So they purchased the books and they put it in the patient waiting rooms. The pathology department spread the word. I also purchased the book when I travel in different cities. I would donate it into the public libraries and my local libraries. And also there are a lot of industry members. They will purchase this book and give it to their members because they said, you are working with pathologists. This book is a gateway for you to understand what pathologists do. Mm. So all the honorariums of this book is donated to the CAP Foundation. So I don't take any money from it. I'm also donating, say, if I'm a consultant for an industry, and there is one company that I'm working with, and from the very beginning, whenever I do work with them, my honorarium will go to the CAP Foundation to support the great work it's doing at the CAP Foundation.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful, Dr. Bui. You are a real pioneer, and you also have a rare good luck of being at the right place at the right time. So
yes, I'm really counting my blessings, because when you choose doing the PhD, you spend 6 years there, you always wonder, did I choose the right profession? So 20 years, 30 years later, I realized, yes, I did. So when you started at Moffitt Cancer Center, you pick up a new expertise that is outside your regular patient care responsibility. You wonder, did I spend this time wisely? Now I realize, yes, I did. And then when you meet that specific patient, and my life changed, and I realized I'm also very fortunate. So all the three books, The Healing Art Pathology, well, let's see, which book start first? So my expertise is bone soft tissue pathology. So I had this book called The Atlas of Soft Tissue and the Bone Pathology Atlas. And then I have this Healing Art of Pathology book. And then my other expertise is cytopathology. So I have a book called The Modern Techniques in Cytopathology. Dr. Laurent Pantanowicz, we collaborated on that. It was, and also the other expertise is digital pathology AI. So that means I probably should write a book about it, right? to close that loop. So that's a new project.
Wonderful. That's our show for today, folks. You can find Dr. Bui on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is @drbui pathology. And thank you very much for listening to us. If you like the show, please like and subscribe to our channels on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
Thank you, Abdul. Have happy holidays. Bye.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an upcoming interview with Dr. Laura Favazza.
It weren't anybody that went into it. For me, I think rotating at a place that has a residency program was just key. You have to be at a place that has a residency program, because the labs at some of these smaller hospitals, they're great, and they're gonna show you what like a community pathologist does, but they're not gonna show you what you're going to be doing as a resident. So that, I think, is just, you have to rotate your residency program. You have to see what they do.